for WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Hi, Dr. Yasuko. It's a great honor to be able to interview you today. Could we just get a quick introduction from you?
Sure. My name is Yasuko Akiyama. I teach Japanese at IU, and I've been at IU for 6 years.
And how has your experience been at IU?
Before I came to Indiana, I was in Iowa, so very similar. I was at another Big Ten university town, so there wasn't any cultural shock having come from Iowa.
And where did you grow up for most of your life?
Most of life is Midwest of Japan, and a place called Okayama, a lot like one of those Midwest states, more like, you know, Ohio.
So our subject today is going into cultural appropriation, mainly because Halloween season is coming up. Can I ask you, what are your general thoughts on cultural appropriation? How have you seen it represented in the media, or maybe a specific instance related to you?
You know, because I'm from Japan, all the cultural appropriation I see is in the face of media. Media, I meant, is animation or manga. You know, that was a huge thing right now. You just mentioned about weeaboo, or, you know, those kind of terms. And people in this country grew up watching animation without realizing that were made outside of this country. So anyway, that's the biggest thing I noticed.
You mentioned the term weeaboo. Are you familiar with the term? And have you seen people in real life, maybe at IU or at Iowa? How have you seen them? How have they been represented?
So, weeaboo is, I hear the terms in more like, you know, late, I know, elementary school kids in upper elementary school, or, you know, middle school, you know, middle school kids, you know, who like, you know, Japanese animation or can make sounds like that. Anyway, that's as much I understood about the term.
Have you ever felt offended by it, the term weeaboo, or seeing a weeaboo?
Yeah, at first I didn't understand for the first time I heard it. Or, you know, like those kids of those age, like making sound or saying something or saying some phrases even toward me or other, you know, sort of Japanese speakers, and I was offended. But then anyway, I understand, you know, coming from that generation of the, you know, younger population, I don't think they mean anything malicious, and I completely understand that as a neutral term.
Do you think that there's a more respectful way that people who maybe have, like you mentioned, enjoy manga, anime, have seen it and enjoy Japanese culture from that, do you have a message to them that would convey this is how you respect Japanese culture while also enjoying these things?
I think, you know, more like, you know, the people who are already watching animation or, you know, like a manga or whatever the Japanese popular culture that are easy to come into their life, I think that they have certain understanding of how different cultures are, at least their own culture and the culture they see in the animation. And sometimes I'm amazed that I teach Japanese here. Majority of the students are interested, or at least were interested once in their life. And they were aware the culture they see associated with Japan, that they see in animation or manga, are different from the actual cultures they might experience once they go to Japan. So they can differentiate it. But mine is more concerned with the people who know nothing about it, or who've heard about it, who heard anything about the Japanese popular culture or whatever the culture, and they still are not interested, or still want to see, yeah, that's just an exotic culture. You know, it's just an old-fashioned, those Asian culture. You know, those are the ones, you know, I have a huge concern.
Could you elaborate maybe more on that? Have you seen a lot of those instances of people exotifying Japanese culture, Asian culture in general.
Yeah. And since, you know, we are doing, you know, radio, you know, mine is always in, of course, in entertainment. We saw wonderful Asian movie having come, you know, so many of them for the last couple of years, especially last year, Crazy Rich Asians and wonderful actors and actresses. But then when you think about, you know, American, of course, you know, huge Hollywood films, how I cannot say all the Asians. When I pay attention to how Japanese are portrayed in the movies, they are terrible. They are terrible until Last Samurai. You know, since then, I don't know, maybe it does a huge difference. I don't say Last Samurai was a wonderful movie. It is a wonderful movie. But then again, before that, when the Japanese character appeared, always they didn't speak English. Or they are short, and then they have this kind of teeth, and they are always, again, in their movie, unattractive figures, physically. And that was very, I don't know, of course, intentional. There are good-looking actors and actresses. They can make them look better, but then they always choose not to portray them that way. Always comical and funny and ugly and awkward. And that time when I saw Last Samurai, there was a very similar movie, Lost in Translation, came out. So at that time, you know, two movies about Japan, and I was asked so many questions from the friends I knew in those days. What do I think? And then Lost in Translation was a wonderful movie, and I loved the director. But then in that movie, all the Japanese characters, that's all the film for you. But then even in that movie, it's wonderful. But then again, all the Japanese didn't speak English. So that was part of the joke. Even though the director said, you know, she loves Japan, she respected Japan, I don't think that's a lie. And she really meant it. But still, what came out is all the Japanese characters who are working professionally, making so much money, none of them spoke English, right? And they, or that was a joke when they spoke English, and even Japanese interpreter translated just a summary of really like a funny way. And then they looked sort of good, but then again, there is a sort of a bashed movie because Tom Cruise starred in The Last Samurai. The setting was problematic, but then all the actresses I saw in that movie was the first Hollywood movie I saw the Japanese figures look like human beings. Like, again, in the movie, they are portrayed as good looking as other actors and actresses who are not Japanese. That part surprises me. So more than the story, anyway, I was sort of moved by that move. And I just felt like, you know, our generation changed a little bit.
What do you think are some Japanese stereotypes that Americans have?
Quiet, smart, good at math, don't show the emotion, and don't have opinions, you know, go with the flow, conservative, likes America, blah, blah, blah.
Have you seen that represented? I mean, I can think of several examples from old Hollywood of cultural appropriation. Do you think that it started then and then has continued? Or do you think that that kind of was a catalyst?
I'd say that's the catalyst.
Mm-hmm, the beginning of Hollywood and that kind of representation.
It was already there, that kind of image. And the physicality first, the differences first. In some ways, you know, I feel like it's come a long way, you know, when you think about it.
You know, I think that there is a big difference between Asian Americans and Asians versus Japanese Americans. Are Japanese more aware, do you think, of cultural appropriation in America versus Japanese Americans?
Probably not. And then you just, you know, put it in Asian American, the Asians, or Japanese American, the Japanese, and those are the huge, you know, if I categorize them, you know, hyphenated Asian, whatever the Asian Americans, and then, you know, native Asians are completely different. you know, categories in the way, because, Native Asian, including myself, Native Japanese grew up without having, you know, any kind of traumatic memories or anything, because we grew up as majority members of the country. So again, since I came to the States, all of a sudden I became Asian American. Oh, no, I'm not American. I became Asian, different category. And, you know, all of a sudden I became one of the minority or a faculty of color or international students of color. So that's a completely different experience than the people who grew up from the beginning in this country as Americans and who needed to deal with those things, not as age 21 or 26 or 47, as from the very early on.
Do you think that coming here at a later time mm-hmm. and maybe for the first time you had just mm-hmm. learned about cultural appropriation or seen it mm-hmm. or seen how Asians were represented in the media, mm-hmm. how did that affect your outlook for America in the future?
Very upsetting. Yeah, I came in my early 20s and that was, of course, you know, I knew about it. And again, I in Japan, you know, that's my generation. I belong to the generation where we refused the United States. I know United States was the last country I would want to come. So my friends laughed, you know, when, you know, anyway, I'm living here and my friends in those days still laugh at me. You know, you said, you know, you didn't go to the States and even, you know, people give you lots of money. But it was upsetting. It is still upsetting.
That's an interesting thing, I think, for me to discuss, if you don't mind, is that you were part of the generation that didn't want to come to America.
Post-war, yeah, post-war later, you know, not the early on. I know post-war, and actually, you know, Japanese baby boomers, that's when the first category of the, you know, Japanese post-war kids, and they adore everything America. You know, America is wonderful, and that's the country they love to go. And my generation, you know, belongs to the generation after watching those, and anything America, you know, like those. I think, you know, we are, you know, it's not a backlash, but you know, we are the kind of resisting. They are sort of blinded adoration about anything about the United States.
Also, do you think that this issue is unique to America, or is this something that many people and culture face around the world, this topic of cultural appropriation?
I think they do. You know, again, like a cultural appropriation is, you know, even there is a term like this is made because it's so still distinctive. Right? If it's common thing for anyone, we don't need to name it, you know, that's what's a cultural appropriation. Still, I think, you know, a big issue is because probably many of us haven't experienced the other or something different from us, not that often. And then that is that phenomena in Japan, you know, anything from unique countries, maybe in the United States, maybe not a very foreign country, but there is a unique culture from outside. And I think, you know, people living in, for example, in Japan are always like a feeling like, what's this, you know, trying to figure out or trying to figure out how to communicate with the group of people or differences. And then I think, you know, that's probably there everywhere, Africa, Middle East, other Asian countries or South America.
Yeah, I would say these are all my questions. Thank you so much, Dr. Yusuko, for letting me interview you. It was a real pleasure and a real honor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio in collaboration with the Asian Culture Center at Indiana University on WFHB. On today's episode, our theme is cultural appropriation, and that was just Yasuko Akiyama, Indiana University professor, who shared her experiences with cultural appropriation after coming to the United States from Japan, while also touching on intergenerational cultural disparities. Up next, we also have IU professor Lisa Kwong, who discusses cultural appropriation in addition to its reasons for the perpetuation of cultural appropriation. Kwong dissects modern examples of cultural appropriation in this interview.
Hi, Professor Kwong. So could you just introduce yourself very quickly?
Sure. My name is Lisa Kwong, and I'm a lecturer for the Asian American Studies program and English department.
So then, within Asian American Studies, what are some topics that you typically speak about or lecture about?
So topics that are usually covered in my intro class are immigration, racism, media representation, gender, sexuality. This semester, I'm doing a more extended unit on adoption since students are interested.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. Yeah. Within media representation, do you go into cultural appropriation at all, or is it mainly just how have Asians been represented in the media?
Yes, we do touch on it a little bit. We discuss yellow face and how, especially in the early, well, pretty much the entire 20th century and even a little bit into the 21st century, there have been a lot of cases of yellow face of white actors playing Asian characters.
Right. So within that, do you think that that started within like old Hollywood, or do you think that that's something that was common amongst Americans at that time, or do you think that Hollywood kind of perpetuated and normalized it?
I would agree that Hollywood has perpetuated and normalized it. I would imagine, though, that when Asian stories were starting to come to prevalence, maybe in the late 19th century, I would say that probably that there was yellow face going on then. So can't give you specific examples, but I would imagine that if someone attempted to do some kind of Asian story, they were probably in yellow face.
How do you think that Asian American stories or Asian stories have been represented in the media?
Well, I think it really depends on the historical context. So one of the topics that I also cover in my intro class is Japanese American incarceration. And I told my students that during World War II, there was obviously a huge wave of anti-Japanese sentiment. So I'm actually a huge fan of Batman. And in the very first serial or film TV representation of Batman, there was a villain named Dr. Daka, who was a white actor in yellow face. And there was just the fact that he was the villain and that there were, it just seemed very anti-Japanese, and it was set against the World War II. So,
I mean, obviously representation now has become a lot better considering stories like Crazy Rich Asians. Do you still think that we have a long way to go, though?
I think it depends on who you ask. There is definitely more Asian Americans telling their own stories, which, we didn't always have that opportunity before, and people felt like they had to speak for us or whatnot. But it is really refreshing to see more representation, especially in film, and that there is an audience for movies like Crazy Rich Asians or even the recent Hustlers, which co-stars Constance Wu.
And then, are you familiar with the movie Ghost in the Shell and the controversy surrounding that?
Yes, Scarlett Johansson.
Right. Could I get your take on that, maybe?
Well, there have obviously been a lot of memes concerning that film. Actually, the most recent meme I saw was one of those, like, what would I look like?
Yeah, I saw that too on Instagram. It was
pretty funny. So, I really don't understand what goes in the minds of casting directors. They make choices like that. I mean, for something that was clearly for a Japanese character and to have a white actress play her or them, I just really don't understand why you do that. I mean, I understand the profit, and the whole theory is that, you know, Asian faces and names are not profitable and will not draw, you know, a majority white audience. But that also calls into question, you know, who are the audiences for these films? So for a film like that, are probably fans of the original, which has a Japanese character. So it doesn't make sense from that viewpoint.
And since we've been talking about media, how do you think that social media has affected cultural appropriation? Especially with nowadays, I think something like cancel culture, I don't know, have you heard of that term?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that has become something of a movement almost,
right.
And like canceling cancel culture. And so that's kind of also prevalent on social media, especially when it comes to cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
People are very quick to cancel someone for certain things. What do you feel about that?
Let me give you a very recent example. So the actress Gina Rodriguez, star of Jane the Virgin, was recently pretty much crucified for singing along to a Fugees song and actually singing the N-word. So, I mean, before, that would have been just her in the privacy of her dressing room or wherever she was. But now, within seconds, it's all over the world. I definitely think that social media, it's just so much easier to spread false beliefs about groups of people. And so, I mean, it's common sense. You really should think twice about what you're sharing. I admit sometimes, you know, not able to sleep and I'm scrolling through, sometimes I'll share things and not think about them, but you also have to consider who the source is before you share.
For sure. What do you think of cultural appropriation among Asian cultures? What do you think is the most common form? Or even Asian American culture included in that?
Right. I'll give you the two F's, food and fashion. So with food, you know, you can go to like a lot of chain restaurants and see some kind of, you know, Asian chicken salad. And, you know, first of all, I don't think a lot of Asian people eat cold vegetables. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, that just doesn't make sense. And then there's like certain ingredients that are associated or, you know, stereotypically associated with Asian peoples. So I would say definitely food. And there's also been, I don't know if you've seen the reports, but, you know, there have been reports of, like, you know, white chefs opening up Asian-themed restaurants and then claiming they're more authentic, or, you know, they claim they're doing a healthier version of said Asian food. It just reinforces the idea that somehow, you know, even our cuisines are inferior because they're not as healthy. I actually, you know, had someone say to me when I was trying to lose weight that, you know, watch out for that ethnic food. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, well, I mean, I knew what that was kind of a rhetorical question, but I knew what that meant. But it just felt very icky. For lack of a better word, to me. And then in terms of fashion, people have appropriated the word kimono to mean any kind of cover-up. So I'm very mindful of when I'm wearing something that is claiming to be a kimono that I try not to use that word because I know it's not in line with the original concept of a kimono. So I just say a cover-up.
Why do you think cultural appropriation is still such an issue today?
I would say it's because certain harmful beliefs and stereotypes continue to be perpetuated. So, unfortunately, I think it's always going to be an issue because there are always going to be pockets of the population that don't know certain things about other cultures. I think one very prominent example of cultural appropriation today is with the Mexican Day of the Dead and how that's been kind of co-opted by some people for Halloween when it's has nothing to do with Halloween. It's about celebrating your ancestors. So Unfortunately, I think unless people take the time to educate themselves about certain things, then the issue is not going to go away.
Can you define for me cultural appreciation versus cultural appropriation?
Well, I think cultural appreciation, first of all, depends on the person's knowledge of the other culture, how much they actually engage with the people of that culture. And sometimes, even then, you might not still get it right. But I think as long as people are aware that, you know, what they're doing, wearing, saying, whatever, is from another culture. I'm not saying it's okay, but I think awareness is the first step in lessening the prominence of this issue.
So then for cultural appropriation, could you also sort of define that for me once again?
So I think for cultural appropriation is, one, a person who has no knowledge of the other culture and is just wearing something as a joke, or is just wearing something because they think it's cool, like an American Indian headdress or whatever, or even like co-opting the Dreamcatcher as a cool design on a shirt. But I think, you know, I often worry for myself, you know, am I performing cultural appropriation as well when I, you know, sing R&B songs at the open mic? But again, I think it's being aware that, you know, first of all, I'm singing a song outside of my culture, or, you know, outside of my lane, whatever the phrase is. And I guess just knowing my place. Again, I'm trying to pay tribute to the music of my childhood. But I could definitely see people accusing me of cultural appropriation as well.
Well, I think that's about it for all of my questions. I really appreciate talking to you. I know we covered quite a range, so sure. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Elise.
You've been listening to Hereabouts with the IU Asian Culture Center, broadcasted by WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth. Tune in to Hereabouts every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m.